Welcome, craft beer fans, to the Brews Line Roadshow, brought to you by Tagger Brew. I'm your host, Daryl, and today we start the tour through Florida for Spring Break Beer Week. And we're starting off today in Tampa, Florida. Enjoy today's episode. So welcome back to the Brews Line Roadshow podcast. This week we're in beautiful Florida for the spring beer break. And today we're at Deviant Libations with our friend Tim Ogden, right? Mm-hmm. Tim, say hello.
Hello.
Tell me a little bit about how you got into brewing and a little bit of the history of Deviant Libations.
I brewed my first batch of homebrew in, 97 in Portland, Maine. I brewed an Imperial Stout. It was a lot of work. The beer was okay. It was an extract batch. And talking to people, pretty much the flavor that I was not into was the extract. And so the solution was to maybe try some different extracts or go all grain. There was access to a lot of great beer just right across the street from my apartment at the time that was world class. So I just did that for a while and kind of moved to Tampa, and the climate was a little bit different here in 1999. There wasn't the wide availability of craft beer that I wanted, so I decided to take another stab at homebrew. Go to the homebrew store, chew on some grain, start making some things, and passion took over.
So tell me a little bit about opening up the place. Where did the name come from? How did we get to where we are today?
Well, I've been brewing professionally since 2005 and almost opened a couple breweries here and there. Various things fell apart. It kind of... I decided that I wanted my initials to be DL. I had it in my head that I was going to open a brewery on the down low, that I was just going to like do this thing and not really talk about it until it was open, was kind of the idea, which didn't really work out that way. I mean, people kind of caught wind. Oh,
couldn't keep the secret.
Yeah. But it started out DL. I'm going to do this on the DL. Deviant Libation it became, and I knew early on that it wasn't going to be, although my experience is in beer, I knew that I also wanted to get a wine license to be able to do ciders and meads, and a distilling license to be able to do anything on that and generate my own barrels for barrel aged beers and things like that. So it's kind of shied away from brewery or brewing or anything in the name. It's just Deviant Libation. I'm going to make alcopops. I'm going to make all kinds of different things. People say, this is not beer, that's not beer. That's fine. It's, drink what you like. I love classic styles as well, but I also like chaos.
I like a little chaos. I like that. So what should visitors know about Tampa and about your neighborhood here in general? What would you tell folks as they're coming down to Tampa, and obviously a big craft beer scene, but what should they know about this area we're in?
Ybor Heights. Ybor Heights is a neighborhood. We're kind of adjacent to Ybor City. It's like a little party district just down the road. We're just a couple minutes from Seminole Heights, Tampa Heights. It's like all these areas that are neighborhoods, but also full of restaurants and various bars and breweries, and so we're kind of right in the middle of everything over here.
So when people walk into Deviant Libations, what could they expect? We're obviously just audio, so give us a little description of what they should expect when they walk in.
People should expect to be greeted warmly by our staff, the atmosphere is built in to kind of greet people with that warmth, from whether it's the rich walnut wood or whether it's the pink floors, or it's just kind of the art on the walls. It's like there's little things that are meant to invoke a sense of warmth.
So what would you say is the mission statement of the business? What are some of the values that, you espouse to as you run the business of the brewery? And
Deviant is intent on providing space with radical inclusivity to everybody. I mean, beer is for everyone. I built this really with a lot of the various subcultures in mind, where people from various underserved communities might feel a little bit more at home than they would, say, a Chili's. But that being said, just like, you know, when a punk rock kid goes into a Chili's, they're not necessarily made to feel unwelcome like anybody who would feel more comfortable just going to, like, a, you know, a chain restaurant. Those people will also be greeted just as warmly and made to feel valued just as much as everybody else.
So as you're staffing up and as you're finding people, what are some of the qualities to continue that culture that you're looking for as you hire folks?
Yeah, I mean, we look for passion in staff is like kind of the first key thing. I mean, you know, you can train people how to do things. If people are passionate about craft beverage, whether it be beer, whether it be craft cocktails or whatever, people that are just passionate about the industry and the community and with that kindness.
Well, I noticed as I looked over the bar that you're a little bit of a music fan, maybe. I have a little vinyl. Talk a little bit about the vinyl. That's not something you see everywhere.
Yeah, we do the first Monday monthly. It started last year during Tampa Bay Beer Week. We do vinyl night the first Monday monthly. It's just some of the records from my house. And in addition, some of the bands that have pulled through over the last year have also given me some records. Some of my friends' bands, some bands that just, you know, happen to play, and they're like, man, this place is rad. Here, you want a record? Yes, please.
You guys will go ahead and play it. That's pretty cool. You mentioned the different varieties of beverages you want to make. So how do you approach that brewing and creating new beers? What's the mindset? Are there some interesting techniques or ingredients that you use?
It really depends. I mean, it's, you know, I try to take a two for you, one for me approach, like, you know, make a couple things that I know, people who come here want, maybe a couple things that I know the community at large are into, and always kind of balance those with my own soul. In other words, I don't want to have beer on tap that I just don't like. So I try and thread that needle, and then every once in a while I tip the scales to the other side of, like, I just want to make this, and I'm going to try my best to make it, but I just want to do this thing.
Now, do you have some flagships that are on all the time?
So we're just starting to get to that point. Over the first year I started, I mean, I basically just got my in-house brewery going. Before that, I built a contract brewery at the same time I was building this, so I brewed one large batch of sour ale, knowing that it could really withstand the aging process, and it's not going to taste really any different the way that, you know, it's like our process and everything's low DO, it's well taken care of. So that beer just is, it's stable, it's going to stay the same, and it was built for fruit additions. And so I just made a lot of fruited sours over the first year. Of those, I would say one of them, at least, if the May Queen I had initially viewed as a seasonal beer, the community kind of has taken to it. People love it. It's still a top performer. It's been on tap for almost a year, and so I'm kind of adding a couple. I just added a golden ale and a dark ale that's kind of somewhere in the middle of the triangle between stout, brown ale, porter. It's not really actually any of those, just good beer. Those are both already kind of taking their place, I guess, as would be core beers. If I make something else later that people like more in the sales on those tanks, then you know, we'll readjust. I look at core beers not as like I'm telling you what you have to choose from that's going to be available all year round, but rather, like, here are some things that I like. Okay, here are some things that people want all the time, and so I should make those available all the time, unless, you know, there's some ingredient that prohibits.
So any of the beers that you'd say you're most proud of?
I mean, that's a really tough one. I mean, right now, yesterday I just tapped the Coconut Cluster. It's an adjunct kind of pastry boy on a 5.9 ABV dark ale. It's a whole lot of coconut, a little bit of cacao, some vanilla, and some pecan.
Whole bunch of flavors in that.
Yeah.
So how do you keep up with trends and innovations in the brewery industry? You know, you started as home brewing, you moved to commercial. What are some of the sources and resources you use to learn and grow, or is it all experimentation?
Yeah, I don't really worry so much about trends. Personally, I mean, I know that there's things that, things come and go, trends come and go. I just try to make good beer. I look at, like, the idea of, you know, it's like trends come and go because people want things different. So I like to provide things that are different. So I'll kind of make my own unique things, like, oh, things are trending a little drier, then, you know, maybe I'll make things a little bit drier. But even with that being said, you know, hazy IPAs are hot right now, for example. Everybody's got lots of hazy IPAs. There aren't really a lot of, you know, drier or like, just, you know, finished clear, bright IPAs. So I'll probably, you know, make something closer to a West Coast. Is it going to be exactly a West Coast IPA? Probably not. You see what I'm saying? It's like, if everybody else is doing this, then why do I need to do this? Everybody's already doing it. If I'm doing the same thing that everybody else is doing, then why does anybody want to come to my place?
Right.
Give somebody a reason to come here.
Yeah, something more unique. What are some of the challenges that you've faced in opening the business and growing the business? What are some of the key things that have challenged you?
That's a tough question. I mean, I don't really keep score, I guess. I mean, I guess I could beat the same dead horse that, you know, our city doesn't make it easy to open a new business. And if you ask anybody who's had to deal with opening a new business in the city of Tampa that's involved construction, they'll tell you the same thing. It's something that, that's probably the single biggest challenge.
Just working with all the regs and city.
Getting through the, you know, feds, no problem. The state, no issues. Local municipality is just, and look, I mean, at the end of the day, you know, they want things right, they want things to code, and I want things right, I want things to code. There's an alignment there that should work in harmony, and it just doesn't always really play out that way.
That's fair enough. So goals and plans for the future. You mentioned you're going to expand the beverages. What are some other things? This is a pretty big building, so are there some more plans around the building, or how's that going?
No, so I've got my first rye whiskey available right now. It was a collaboration with a local distiller, Dark Door Spirits, so it was produced over there. So yeah, I mean, I'm looking forward to getting going, making some vodkas over here, make some gins, and kind of get into some rums. And I just picked up an accelerated ager that's like really, really cool machine. I call it the witchcraft box. It's like you put whiskey in, it recirculates. I say whiskey, you put your spirits in, and it recirculates, and, you know, changes the temperature, bring the temperature down, let it rise up, bring it down, let it rise up, all the same things that it'll do in a barrel. And so it just kind of
a magic barrel.
In like a week and a half, you get something roughly equivalent to a 4-year aged product, and then you can go into barrel from there with like a nice little jump start. So I'm looking forward to playing with this magic.
Sounds like a lot of fun.
Yeah.
So listeners always like to hear a little bit more about the people behind the beer. So tell us about yourself. Where'd you grow up? I know you said you haven't been here all your life. Just give us some history on you. Not necessarily just on the brewery.
History on me. Wow. I've been making beer for almost 20 years. That's I make beer. I make jokes.
So where'd you grow up?
I grew up in Maine. Yeah.
And then what brought you down to Tampa?
Some family down here. Yeah, had some family down here, came down to visit, met a bunch of really nice people, came back and forth several times.
A little warmer, especially in the winter months.
Yeah, I mean, when I moved here, I was still pretty young, didn't have the same body aches from work injuries, etc. It's like, you know, the cold suited me just fine. I'm actually most of the time way too hot, and, you know, it's...
So when you're not making beer, what are some things you do outside of the business?
I mean, new business owner, I'm in the first year. This is my life now. You know, I'm here. I mean, I enjoy all kinds of different, you know, when I can find the time, I enjoy quality time with friends and loved ones, you know, be it, you know, various communities, various people. I like to find time and create time for people. So, I mean, that's pretty much, you know, be it, you know, culture thing, arts, entertainment, like all those, you know, before opening a brewery, pretty much always going to a show, like some kind of live music event. Like I play in a band. We started doing shows here. So when we host shows, that's pretty much when I see shows. Before that, for a long time, it was like, if my band is playing, I'll see that show. Otherwise, I got work.
So last but not least, what beer should we try today?
Well, how about the... let's go for it. What about the Kiss of Darkness?
Okay, so we're trying the Kiss of Darkness. Describe this again for me.
So on the can, I call it an American brown ale. On the beer menu, I call it a brown porter. It's really, like I said, this is somewhere between... It's a dark ale. It's about 5.9% ABV, medium full bodied. It's a fair amount of caramel malt, lots of dark notes, a little bit of the caramel is like kind of leans molasses-y at moments. Lots and lots and lots of brown malt. So it's got a fair amount of roastiness like you would expect in a stout. A lot more roast than you would expect in any brown ale or porter or anything of the sort. A fair amount of Cascade and a little Centennial.
The nose is great on it, but let's see how it tastes. Delicious. Yep, I taste that roast.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the roast really plays with the hops a little bit, and they kind of fall in line together and kind of walk this like roasty, hoppy line.
Well, Tim, thank you so much for taking some time with me today to learn a little bit more about Deviant Libation. Sounds like you're off to a great start and looking forward to come back for a return visit. Cheers, my friend.
Cheers. Nice talking with you, Daryl.